Well, greetings to each one in the precious name of Jesus. That precious name that is above every other name. It's good to be here. I was sitting back there in my seat just thinking, like we all do. All of us sit and we think. And I was sitting there thinking almost 20 years ago in my life. And I was in the young men and young women's shoes 20 years ago. 20 years go by so fast. And it's a blessing to see all of you here tonight and that we could gather in this way, that you have a desire to seek God. You have a desire to hear from Him in your young days of living on this earth. It's very rare. There's a lot of things going on in this world. So you have a blessed opportunity to be here, to hear the Word. So there were some of my thoughts. Maybe we could all rise together and have a word of prayer. Dear righteous, eternal Father, we sense our need of You, Father, tonight. Lord, we again realize that the sun set upon this day, and Your mercies were new again this day, and the day is closing. It's coming to an end, another beautiful day, a gift that You give us. And we're gathered in this way like we've never been before and probably never will be again. So, Father, tonight we ask for Your anointing. We ask for Your presence. We thank You for being here ready, recognizing that except You come and build the house, we labor in vain. So we ask for Your anointing. Pray, Father, in heaven tonight that the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth would be acceptable in Thy sight. Lord, that Your kingdom would be furthered. People could be, brothers and sisters could be encouraged. People could be changed. Some could enter in, maybe, that need to. Father in heaven, we pray that we could share Your burden tonight, what You have. We ask for Your guiding hand in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, it seems like the last day and a half, a few thoughts. It's not just the last day and a half, but we all have thoughts continually through life. But some of the thoughts that I'll be sharing tonight, some things I've been thinking about for a few months already. Just thinking some of the scripture verses. If you have a Bible, you can turn to Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 24. Starting in verse 19, it says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is the darkness?" No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. We'll stop there. Just like to draw from the two verses, verses 22 and 23. It says, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is the darkness?" I know these are very familiar scriptures, but as I looked over those, I was challenged and blessed in my own life to look at those verses and look at that single eye. Tonight, the title for the few thoughts that I have would be a call to a single eye. A call to a single eye. And I'd like to look at four different areas of that. The first one I'd like to look at is, we remember when we look at the eye, it contains sight. And tonight we want to look at blind, being blind, not having any sight. And we're not going to be talking about physical sight, but however the Bible uses it to help us to understand His creation. So we're going to talk about blindness, just being blind, having no sight. The second, we want to talk about blurred vision, blurred sight. And the third, we want to talk about double vision. And lastly, we want to look at that single vision, that great call from God, our Father in heaven, the single vision. The meaning of an eye or a vision in the dictionary in the eye is it's an organ of sight. All of us have an eye. Some of us, I realize, are blind. Not everyone has perfect sight. But the sight that we're talking about tonight is the sight from within the man. But all of us have an eye. For the sake of illustration, it's an organ of sight, a vision. It's a view of the mind. You know, when we look over situations, we look over life, we process. And according what's inside, according how we're, if we're transformed, if we're renewed, we process it properly with light or with darkness. And so we like to look at that. There is an opinion formed by observation by this sight. We're looking. We have the beautiful thing, the beautiful organ called the eye of sight. Either it is literal or figurative. Now, I realize that tonight we're going to be looking at a spiritual sight mostly. It is the power of perception. You know, two people can perceive something completely different. And what I mean by completely different, that can be carnal or spiritual. You can read the Word of God and you can receive it carnally or spiritually. And it depends much on your perception. You and I's perception of what our eye is seeing by what's in our mind. What our eye is seeing. As Ephesians 1 verse 18 says, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what is the riches of His glory, of His inheritance in the saints. The eye of the master will do more work than both hands, and his hands will follow the point of interest. Some of these were just some of my own thoughts as I meditated the last few weeks. The hands will follow the point of interest. You ever hear people say, I did all this, but that's not my heart? I'm very thankful tonight that that's not true. Because that's how God reveals things in my life. When I do something that is not right, that's what's in my heart. It can be a mistake. Now, I mean in habitual sinning, walking after sin. It can be mistakes, and then we quickly turn from them. So with that said, we follow our point of interest. God is that way for us. He helps us to see what we are setting our eye on, or what we're following after, simply by our actions. One thing I found in the Old Testament, kings, cruel kings, wicked kings often gouged out the eyes of their enemies so they couldn't rebel or run out of captivity. So they would gouge their eyes out and leave them for destruction. Think of a couple of men that were blind in the Bible. Think of Samson. He became a blind man by a series of choices in his life and found himself one day walking in a circle, grinding, blind. His eyes were gouged out. In 2 Kings 25, if you want to turn to there, your Bibles. Second Kings 25, verse 5 to 7, is a young king of Jerusalem that was besieged. As the army pursued after the king, in verse 5, and overtook him in the plains of Jericho, and all his army were scattered from him. And they took the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon, to Riblah, and they gave judgment upon him. And they slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, and they put out the eyes of Zedekiah and bound him with fetters of brass and carried him to Babylon. That's how the army held this young king captive. They gouged his eyes out. Think of that scene. They killed all his sons. They gouged his eyes out. And they carried him to Babylon. He was blind. He was a young man. And the Bible says here that he did evil. He did that what was evil in the sight of the Lord. Think tonight of being spiritually blind. I think sometimes over life, I don't know everyone here at all, but I would imagine it would be safe to say that they're very possible that someone is spiritually blind here tonight. Cannot see. Yet you may be able to see with your naked eye, but you are yet spiritually blind. Though you can see everything around you, I don't think at times you can see what you ought to see because of the blindness that is in us, in people that have not surrendered. Everything is dark in your mind's view. I understand that. Can anybody understand that? In the view of the mind, everything is dark. It's called blindness tonight. I don't think we're going to stop there. Bless God. We're going to move forward. But tonight, think about blindness. Isaiah 59, turn a few scriptures there, talks about blindness. We'll read in Isaiah 59, a number of scriptures. Look over here, starting in verse 1. It says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. For we wait for light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar like bears, and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and in lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. And judgment is turned away backwards, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment." We'll leave off on verse 15, and at the end of the message we want to come back and pick up on verse 16 and go on into chapter 60. And I think we can look at a little different picture at then, but we want to look at the sins that cause these calamities. In verse 10 it says, "We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. Think of that picture in Scripture. Most of the time it doesn't appear that way physically, that people are groping in darkness, just like you're just reaching for something, but you have nothing to hold on to. That's a despairing, dark time in life. I remember that time in my life as a young man, trying to find my way. And if you're here tonight in that way, You can find your way out of darkness. You can find your way out of blindness into sight. It's a beautiful thing. Desolate places. It is sin. It is sin this evening that causes all the folly, causes us to be blind, even though we can see. Think of some of these practical points we read in chapter 59. Think of your fingers tonight. Think of your fingers. You know, these fingers are made of God. Fingers, and your fingers with iniquity. You know, working iniquity, working lawlessness with these fingers. Are your fingers doing whatever they want to do? Or are these fingers brought under the subjection of Jesus Christ? The lawlessness of our fingers, our created fingers doing whatever they want to do in lawlessness, in iniquity. Think about your fingers tonight. Where have they been? Where are they in life? These little fingers that God has given us. They're here for a blessing, or they can be used for a curse. You can serve God with them, or you can serve yourself. Fingers. I just thought of a few of the body parts. Speaking lies from your lips. Think of that sometimes. Sometimes there's people get in, they lie so much in life that they carry about a spirit of lying. And they can't even tell you the truth if you try to press them in a corner. But tonight, think about lying. One of the things about lying tonight, lying with your lips. They may seem like, well, I don't know if there's any such thing as small lies. It's just a lie. And if we can keep it that way, then we don't have to fall into darkness and be blind. That your lips would never lie. And tonight, you know what? It's not in condemnation. And if you're sitting here tonight, we're sitting together, and you have lied in your life, you don't have to stay there. You can come on board. You can come away from that, and you can repent from lying. Remember this evening, these things will cause blindness. Maybe if you're a Christian, maybe if you have repented and have come to the light, and you find yourself trying to save yourself in areas and just saying the untruth in small ways. I know how that temptation works. It works that way, just to kind of shave it just a bit. And you know what happens at that point? You become pretty blurry. Things just get kind of blurry. Not many people know it. You look pretty good. You can still sing. We can still do the right things. But there's a blurriness sets over the vision. There's a blurriness sets over the countenance of a person just because he's chose to lie, just to make his way through. Speaking lies. Remember, you can never lie tonight and keep a single vision. It'll go away. A single vision will go away. Using your tongue. Another thing is to speak perverseness. In Isaiah 59, speaking perverseness. Another word would be for evil. To speak with deliberate and stubborn unruliness and resistance to guidance or discipline. Speaking with a mean spirit. Being contrary to that which is expected from you. Think about that. Makes me think of a verse in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 17. It says, "The eye that mocketh his father, and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pluck out the young eagles, pluck out his eye, and the young eagles shall eat it." The pluck it out. The eye that mocketh at his father. You know, a lot of young men, a lot of young women here tonight. And I'm sure that I'm a young father. I'm sure that many of you fathers are not perfect. And there could be a lot of different situations. But the Word of God says, the eye that mocketh his father, it'll take the sight out of your life. You won't be able to see. Take a sight away. You don't want that taken away. You want to have clear sight, clear vision. Speaking perverseness tonight. You know, I had to think, sometimes when we think of speaking perversely, We think, well, that's out there. It's just big stuff. But think about that. Just stubborn and unruly. Just resisting guidance. Resisting discipline. Just speaking in a mean spirit. Just having a spirit of resistance is perverse. I just appreciate that meaning. It's perverse. Doesn't that sound like just dark? just to resist guidance. It's pretty easy to do that at times. I remember. I can still face those times. As a Christian, tonight, if you find yourself in any of these areas, you may not be totally blind. Some of these things may creep up on us at times. But you will be blurry at best. There will be blurriness. To think, blurriness always starts in my life as I meditate on my own life throughout the last day and a half. Blurry vision only starts as a need is brought to my attention and I resist it. You know, until then, I have a clear vision. I can move forward and I can understand. And God gives grace and we can make decisions. But if we start resisting when God starts speaking, then there's a blurriness comes over our vision. And we just can't see clearly. We can see a blur. Some of these things, later I was talking with my son and we talked this afternoon. We have a bit of a testimony that some of these things were born from in my life. And I'd like to take a moment to share that. You know, when you have a blurred vision, see, when you're blind, we really get serious. We try to figure out what's wrong. But one day, a number of months ago, my son come and he said, I can't see very good in this eye. And I said, well, let's go in and sit down and see what's going on. So we were under the impression that a piece of wood hit his eye. And so we put some ice on it, tried to do different things. The next morning he woke up, he said, it's worse. Can't barely see anything. It's getting black. If you're a father and you have children, you understand that. So I started to get serious. Everything else didn't matter no more. The shop just didn't matter. And I said, well, let's go sit down. Let's see what's going on. But it was all in the optic nerve, and I couldn't see what was going on. And he just kept going down. I think Saturday morning, he said, Dad, I can't see nothing. I'm blind. And it's black. As I meditated on that, the Lord was working in my own heart. So tonight I had to think, when I was driving down here, if your eye is black, stand up and make it known. Because there's help. God wants to help you have sight. And so everything else stopped them days and we started looking for help, for sight. We wanted anything, the most, anything we wanted, everything we wanted earthly was put away. We wanted sight. Anyway, through a series of events, we did have an anointing in our fellowship for our son. And the next morning, he says, Dad, he said, I can see a shadow of this arm. It's just really blurry, but I can see it. And think about it tonight. Sometimes that's how life is. You can just see it. And I said, praise the Lord. God was healing. Praise the Lord. You can just see it, just a little bit. Try to put this in spiritual perspective tonight. How much can you see tonight? How much can you see? As we journeyed along Monday, Tuesday morning, he said, I can make out the color of my shirt and I can see the color of my hand. You see, sight was coming. Till it was blurry, it was still kind of wavy and blurry. And then he went into double vision a little bit. Double. And then my hand was here and he would poke for here and he'd miss my hand. It was double, you know, it was looked like two hands. And it makes me think of that scripture that Jesus, the people brought this blind man to Jesus Christ and they said, heal this man. They said, here, he's blind. And so Jesus touched him, and he asked the man, so what do you see? And the man said, a very familiar story, he said, I see men as trees. Looked like a kind of a vague. And so Jesus touched him again. And it says that the man could see every man clearly the second time. That's a huge difference. And tonight I was thinking, if you're willing to settle for blurriness, it's not good enough. It's not good enough. It won't make it. God wants us to see clearly. He wants to see clearly. That's His heart tonight, our God. It took two touches for Him. And you know, it's interesting. I paged over this afternoon looking at Bartimaeus. He was that man that was standing there just crying out. You know, he heard Jesus was coming through, and the people were telling him, you know, just quiet down. And he just kept crying out. And Jesus said, go get him. And I had to think, I don't know if that's the difference. You know, the point, I don't know if it matters if it's one touch or two touches. But the point was, both of these men were made whole. They were able to see. But I appreciated Bartimaeus' persistence in a crowd that was telling him to be quiet. He kept on saying, have mercy on me. And Jesus asked him, what will thou that I do for you? And as a young man, I know that the enemy, he likes to throw that back at you. Don't be too radical. But I would say that no matter what the crowd says, you cry out for help tonight. You cry out for help. Bartimaeus did, and it worked. And many men did before us, and it worked. The history of God's people, it always worked when men cried out to God for help. Crying out, and Jesus heard him, Bartimaeus. I'm not sure that anybody will be here tonight telling you to be quiet. I'm sure that there'll be whisperings. That usually happens all the time, them little whisperings. Nobody understands. Returning to sight. Rather, these two men returned to sight. Blurry vision tonight can be very hard to work through. The second point, blurry vision. It's very hard. Blurry vision a lot of times is not always sin. Sometimes blurry vision can be a lack of understanding. Just a lack of maybe even a desire. Just neglecting to do the things that God has before you. And things just kind of get gray and blurry. I can testify to that. I understand that. Become blurry in life. You know, some of you may be sitting here tonight, and I think of some questions. You know, some of you may be thinking, what's my purpose in life? I understand that question. But we can continue to ask that question. That's not negative. But the devil likes to use those questions and try to tell you that you have no purpose. But you're very precious in the sight of God. Every one of you, young men and women, and all of us together alike tonight, we're very precious. God made everyone precious tonight in His sight. And He has a place for every one of us to fulfill until He returns. That's humbling tonight. That's a blessing. That's a God, that's a loving God that we serve. A blurry vision. Sometimes we get blurry. We ask where, you know, sometimes we... It can seem like small questions that we ask. What's a good job for me? You know, and some people, we struggle with that. What's a good job? Sometimes, according where your situations may be, where do I go to church? What do I do? Sometimes if those things are not clarified, there can be a lot of blurry things set in life. And many times, unfortunately, people get very discouraged and they just throw it in and just give up. And you know, I had to think tonight, you know, I shared earlier as I meditated on being here. Even in short 20 years, 19 years of my life, I see sometimes people just give up. And the thought tonight that anyone in this room giving up is a burden. Not just on my heart, but it is a burden on God. He doesn't want one to give up tonight. Not one. So may you hear that heart from God. He doesn't want you to give up. Yielding. The best thing is tonight to get rid of blurriness. I had to think, sometimes we wonder how we're going to get out sometimes if we're in blurry vision. Life is common. I remember in life we prayed. I started looking. I didn't know when if I would be married. Some of you don't know that either. I started asking God. I started praying, just like you're doing, young men, praying and asking God for direction. And I remember I started thinking, I know what'll work, but I don't know how to do this. If I could just find someone that's down the road a little bit and ask him, talk to him. And I stepped out of my comfort zone in those teen years, and I found a blessing in my life. Found someone that had a hold of the single vision that I so desired. And I was helped tremendously. And it wasn't like a spiritual noise that really changed. It was God, but it was discipleship. It was seeking help, asking men that are before us. And I look at that pattern, and I don't ever want to stop that pattern in life. Ask men before you, they'll help you. Ask men before you, they'll help you. I'm not telling you to ask me, but ask men. People know what you're going through. Sometimes it may not look that way, but we do. A blurry vision, many times, is created by completely dwelling on the moment. Just think about that. Completely dwelling on the moment. And not comparing the moment in light of the eternal perspective. Because sometimes at a young age, the moment is just tough. The moment is just tough. It feels like I don't restrict. It just feels tough. But if we can take, by the grace of God, take that moment and compare it to the big picture of the eternal perspective, it helps us to not be blurry. It helps us to see clearly. Not moving or making decisions on your feelings. That's a sure way to continue to journey down a blurry vision, is just making a move and making a decision when things are kind of blurry. And I just beg you not to do that. Make decisions. Walk beside somebody in your life, in your homes, in your churches. The third one I'd like to look at now, we'll leave that. The third one is double vision. In the fact of double vision tonight, double vision tonight is dangerous. Like blurry is bad, but double is dangerous. And some of my thoughts, and I know these could go different ways, but I'll give some of the thoughts that were burning on my heart. So then you can change them and you can do different things with it. But double vision is very deceptive. Because many of these things are created from professed Christianity, double vision. Because two things look about the same. They look just about the same. And sometimes I remember those days. I still face them. I consider myself very young. But two things look the same. We need a single vision to be able to go through these things. To knowing God. To know God and to follow Him. The burden tonight, as thinking of double vision, is not to run everyone down, but to pick up the Jesus of the Bible, the Jesus of the New Testament, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, double vision comes from when we try to make Him fit our lives, instead of taking our lives and conforming our lives unto Him. It's much better. It's clear. It's very clear. But it gets kind of in a... Think about that with me tonight. Do you want to conform your life unto Him? Or do you want to bring Him down and fit Him into your life? It becomes clear. Just think about that. A single vision. A double vision is what we're talking about. We're heading for a single vision. That's where we want to finish. I would like to look at this. I'd like to share two views. Something I've been thinking about. I know I've shared this before at home. But I'd like to share them here tonight. There's two views of God. I mean, there's more than that. But there's two views that I'm thinking about. And it helped me tremendously to clarify the double vision struggle in my own personal life. See, there's a view of God that he's big. He's a big God. And he's way up there in heaven. He's just far away. He's distant. But you know, and he's angry. He's angry at sinners. He's a just God. And remember, some of these points are true. I just like to give a picture. And so I also want to be open for correction. So think about it. God is a big God. He's angry, and the view is he's far away, and he's upset with these sinners here on earth. So to quench his anger, he takes his wrath out on his son. So we as his people don't have to experience the anger of God because he poured it out on his son. I'm just giving you a picture. I want you to be thinking. He poured out his anger on his son. He takes his wrath out on his son so we as his people don't experience the anger of God. Because he poured that out on his son Jesus, his son Jesus, we don't have to experience it. We can be free from this wrath. Have you ever heard that view? I think it's pretty normal. And like I shared earlier, I didn't start this to down people, but to pick up another view that I want to look at that I believe has been a view of the Church of God. It's been a view of God's people from the early church and has preserved. I'd like to share that tonight. These are my own thoughts. I didn't find this anywhere. Just thinking and reading through Hebrews, reading through this. The God of heaven tonight is a God that loves. He's a God that loves. Now remember, there's parts that are true. He hates sin. And you know that when God is resisting you tonight. God is not pleased. And we know that. We sense that in life. God is a God of love tonight. And he desires to be our God. He desires a covenant salvation. He desires not just a save me salvation. He desires a covenant salvation. And I don't know why these things have been a burden on my heart. A full salvation. That's God's call. And this was fulfilled in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You know, on contracts, on things that we do jobs for, we make a contract and we agree and two parties sign. The problem sometimes with that kind of thought is that there's an end date. But the covenant of God is always the same. And people of God come to that covenant. It never changes. A covenant salvation. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ. This view of what's been a tremendous blessing in my life. It requires everything. The other view, it takes parts. Because you know, the world around, men are convicted of their sins. It's a challenge. It isn't enjoyable to continue to live in our sins. So we really want to be free from our sins. We just want to be free from the burden. But think how foolish it is tonight to not be willing to commit to the covenant sacrifice, to the covenant salvation, rather than a save me salvation. I think those have caused a blurred vision in my life. Maybe none of you can identify with that. They've caused some blurriness in my life. But so there's a blessing for me to think about that. The sum of it is, tonight I think, man in his cleverness seeks to have the best of both. Man in his cleverness seeks to have the best of both. And we can't do that. That's two. That's a double vision. It will never work. It will lead us back to blindness. With that, we want to look at the last point, a single vision. Go to Matthew. We'll go back to Matthew. I'm going to read a verse in Matthew 12:30. You don't have to turn to it. It says in there, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." Jesus also said, "No man can serve two masters. He will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. This quote is from Matthew 6:24. We just started with those verses. Jesus said also in Luke 11:28, "Yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." Jesus said, "Yea, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." And I had to think tonight if there would be an encouragement that I could let with you all. Blessed are you when you hear the word of God and you keep it. And you can be like Enoch. You can be like Noah. And you can walk with God all the days of your life, no matter what comes our way. That's God's design for us. You know, when I think of that, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Jesus said that in the context of when he said, there's a greater than Solomon here, and there's a greater than Jonah here. And you know how to think, if Jonah that was swallowed by the whale would come and stand before people, you would think, but no, he said, there's one greater here, and it's this. It's the precious word of God. It's greater than Jonah, and it's greater than Solomon. I praise God for that tonight. Because the Bible says that even if they would come back, people still wouldn't repent. They wouldn't repent. So back to Isaiah chapter 59, verse 16. We want to look at the last point of single, a single call. A call to single, to be single-eyed. Starting in verse 16, we're going to it'll turn a corner. Isaiah chapter 59, if you have your Bibles. Remember earlier, there was no judgment. Judgment was turned back. They were seeking for salvation. Salvation was far from them. But in verse 16, "And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness sustained him. And he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on a garment of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My Spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of thy mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forevermore." Beautiful scriptures there in the last part of Isaiah 59. "My Spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forevermore." And then in chapter 60, he says, "Arise, shine, for the light has come. The glorious light of Jesus Christ has come. He's come a long time ago, but he's come this evening. The light of Jesus Christ. That you and I could take a look and a steadfast look and have a single eye for Jesus Christ. To me, that's glorious. There's nothing better. It doesn't come easy. It can be very difficult to find our journey, to find our way through that journey. We see the arm that brought salvation. I had to think, the arm that brought salvation in 59 was the arm of God. He brought salvation. He brought deliverance from the passions of sinful nature. That's what he did. He brought salvation. The deliverance from passions, from a sinful nature. It's really hard to have a single vision when you have double passions. a single passion for God. That seems, you know, I heard a brother preach one time that he said, you need to shoot for the stars. You might not hit every one of them. But if you shoot for the barn door, we'll end up in the dunghill. You know, think about God's heart and God's standard. So sometimes when I'm sharing things, I'm on this journey too. I'm going for this. That's the heart of God, to go for this single vision continually. A light, following the light, delivered from passions. Praise the Lord tonight. He has lifted up a standard against the enemy. You know, we can lament tonight in 2022 that this is difficult times, and it is. But our God tonight has lifted up a standard against darkness. Against darkness. And it's in the person of Jesus Christ. Transgress. He turns us from transgression. The Redeemer shall come to Zion, saith the Lord. And this is the glory of the church. That the true light that now lighteth every man. The true light. So with a single eye. I had to think tonight. So with a single eye, may the people of the living God rise up continually. You know, oh the joy. Oh the joy of that day when my son says, I can see it. I just lift up my hands. This was physical. But oh the joy tonight when someone can say, I see it. Single eye. It takes the forsaking of all. So tonight, just to recap some of the thoughts I had. I had to think. There might be someone in here tonight that's blind. And you're at a very good place to be tonight. If you're blind, you can make that known. Maybe there's someone that's blurry. Maybe some of us are blurry. We're facing some blurry vision. May God meet us tonight. May He come here and He can help us to have a clear vision. And maybe some of us have a double vision. Maybe we have a false concept of God. Maybe we don't understand who He is. So it's created a double vision in our life. We try to do right and we fail. We try to do right the next day and we continue to go because we have two visions. And then lastly, the burden and the call of God is that we would have a single eye. Simply, I had to think tonight. We talked a lot about sins, thinking of your fingers, just recapping. But think tonight of the sin of neglect. Just neglecting to do what's before you today. That's sinful. The Bible tells us that to him that knoweth to do good and don't do it is sin. So you don't have to go do the gross things that are mentioned in Isaiah. And I realize those things were happening and they do still happen. But just to simply sit here tonight under the sound of the Word of God and neglect is great sin before God. Great sin. And it's also very deceptive because it becomes easier. It becomes easier to do that. This great call to be single-eyed is from one generation to another. One generation to another. 20 years, 20 more years. Hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years. This is God's heart. This is why it's a blessing to me. My desire was tonight to not tempt the Word of God, but to pick it up and to talk about this single vision. So may God bless you all this week. I don't know that what all you have been learning today, but I trust that you'll be learning. And may you endeavor to seek the Lord and to follow His ways. So may the Lord bless each of you.